I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual warfare again. And so this morning we're going to talk about intimidation. Anybody been intimidated? Yeah, anybody intimidated anyone? Well, actually, I'm very proud of you for saying that, because I didn't expect to hear very much then. You know, it's like, and you know the other word for intimidation today is bullying. Do you know anybody who's a bully? Don't point at somebody. And have you ever been bullied? Have you? And I'll ask this question right now, and you can just utter the answer to yourself. Are you being bullied now? And if you are, God doesn't want you in that situation to be bullied, and hopefully this morning's sermon will help you in that area. Because the originator of being intimidated or being bullied is the devil. God does not, listen, God does not bully you or intimidate you into a relationship. He draws you in with his love. And that is so different. There's even churches who bully, and there's churches who intimidate. There's pastors who bully, and there's pastors who intimidate. And there are people in all walks of life, whatever their leadership role, they just intimidate people. This next, isn't that the truth?
There she a little critter.
You know, it's like we're just up at our kids' house in 150-mile house, and they have a wiener dog, and it's about the same size as the little one. And then they had this lab pup that wasn't very big last month, but it's really big this month, and it has legs that are way longer than its body, so it trips over them. And it's just full of energy. Like, it'll come in through the door, it'll run through the living room, kiss everybody, and go up and down over the couches, and then grab this little one and want to be friends with it. It's not really intimidating, but to the little one, it's really intimidating, because when he licks the little one, the little one's head goes in his mouth. And this little one doesn't like that for some reason. I don't know. And so she's going, you know, and like, what can she do? She weighs about, maybe 1/60th of this thing, and this thing's still growing. And in the animal world, there's a lot of intimidation. It's a pecking order. In the world we live in, there's a pecking order for people who do not follow what Jesus Christ has said, where we are all equal and we need to love one another. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that. One of the situations, when Elaine and I were in the district, just going around from church to church, doing conflict resolution and crises intervention, we'd get into some situations that were a bit difficult in churches. Now, I know that's probably something strange and puzzling to you, but it actually happens. And this one particular meeting, there was about 70 people that had joined together for this meeting, and I was asked to come in on behalf of the district to chair this meeting. And so while I was standing there with the microphone, I had this older gentleman come up, came right up into my space. Ever had anybody come right in your space? Usually they have bad breath, but they're just right there. And you step back, and they step back, and you step back, and they stay there. So he said, "Why don't you sit down?" I says, "Because I'm chairing this meeting, and I'll actually ask you to sit down." I didn't change the tone of my voice at all. "Well, I think you should sit down." And I says, "Actually, I'm being called here to chair this meeting." "Oh, yeah? Who called you?" So the pastor's over there. I deferred it to the pastor. I says, "Pastor, can you tell this gentleman who called me to be here to chair this meeting?" And he said, the board. And this guy's on the board. This guy is so angry, and this guy is a powerful man. He's very rich. He'd been in the church for forever. He probably saw the ark, I don't know, but he was there for a long time, so he had ownership on the church, and he was going to intimidate with his power, with his finances, and with everything, all his connection, generations. He drove the nails in the church, all this kind of stuff. And he was going to intimidate that whole congregation to go the way he wanted them to go. And that was the tension. And actually, I said, well, you know who asked me to come here, so I will ask you to sit down. And he went and sat down, but he was angry. So two of his henchmen, you know what henchmen are? They're the ones that really support him and no one else. And so two of them came up right after and did the same thing. And there's 70 people out there that are trying to resolve this situation, and I'm trying to resolve this situation, and I got this war going on right now. And so I asked them to sit down as well. And through some very choice words and some threats, they finally sat down. The reason I could stand there and deal with this situation is I knew who I was. I had the authority of the district, but I also had the authority of Christ, and I knew that this, what they were doing, was not proper. It was unjustified. And so my role was to be a person who tried to resolve or at least resolve the tension or what was the conflict that was going on. So this guy was not very happy. He ripped a big chunk out of the church when he left. And he went and set up his own church. And he built his own church. He had the money to buy his own church. And he hired a pastor, of course, that would do what he wanted him to do, right? He didn't ask me for my resume. I don't know why. But he wanted somebody that he could say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and God told me that's the way. I'll tell you, when somebody tells me, God told me, and it's contrary to the scriptures, that's not the God I serve. It's not the God you serve. And they'll use that card. They'll deal it all the time. Oh, God, thus saith the Lord. No, not thus saith the Lord. Thus saith you, because you want to control the situation. And that's not what God wants. But boy, is that ever what the devil wants. And he'll intimidate you. He'll intimidate you in your marriage. He'll intimidate you as a child. He'll intimidate you in the school system. We have horrific problems with bullying. And I'll kind of go on record, it'll take more than a pink shirt to stop bullying. I honestly believe that. I think that's too passive. But I'll tell you something. You do not need to succumb. You do not need to kowtow. You do not need to roll over on the ground and put your thumb in your mouth and turn against the wall when somebody intimidates you. That's not what God's plan is. Remember in Scripture it says in Ephesians 6, when you've done everything to stand, stand. All right, when it's against evil, stand in the power and the anointing of God. Stand strong. And we're going to go into Nehemiah, and you're going to find that Nehemiah was being intimidated all the way through. So if you turn with me to chapter 6, we'll find out about that. Just hang with me while I change something here so my computer or my laptop doesn't go off and on all the time. Okay, should be better. I love this book, Nehemiah. It's got so many truths for us. And Nehemiah wasn't intimidated at all. And this will help us in our walk. So and it's Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. When the word came to Sanballat, who's Sanballat? Satan, the devil. Tobiah, who is Tobiah? Remember, he was the demonic, he represents the demonic religious spirit, because he had all, he could quote scripture and he could say all the right things and he would say, thus saith the Lord, but his whole agenda was that it wasn't to do with what God wanted. And Geshem the Arab, and it's that constant dripping, remember? Drip, 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 drip. Drives you nuts, right? Interesting, if you don't really know what they do, you know what they do isn't good because they're associated with Sanballat. And if you're on his team, you're not on God's team. And you know what? Sanballat is an intimidator and a deceiver, and he brings the people on and intimidates them and deceives them, uses them and destroys them when he's done. That's what Satan does to people. And the rest of our enemies, and when they heard that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time, I had not set the gates or the doors in the gates. So we got a wall that's built kind of like this, isn't this awesome already? We're expecting maybe between 3,000 and 5,000 boxes in this from this area. So can you imagine? It'll be just awesome. Next Sunday, we'll have them all displayed. Isn't that right, Elaine? Yeah. Elaine's working with this. Rebecca's here. She is also working with this. Where are you, Rebecca? Back there. She works with Samaritan's Purse, and this is an exciting thing. It's not my sermon, but I just put a plug in because she's my wife. Not Rebecca, Elaine. I can really get myself into trouble, can I? So he hadn't set the gates in order. So in other words, there was this wall, and then there was an opening, and there was a wall. And so as long as the gates aren't in, the enemy can still come in back and forth. You need to know you have your walls up and your gates in. And you only allow in what you want in. Let me tell you some of the things that you have to be careful of as the media. You don't want the media feeding your brain with the junk that's on TV or the stuff that's on different places. You don't want that. And the reason is the gates are down. And by the time you say, that's wrong, it's already there. And your brain has the most amazing retention of anything in this whole world. You can remember those kind of things, and the enemy knows that. And he puts that in your mind. I can still remember things I have horrible thoughts about still, called intrusive memories. I don't want to remember those things, but they got into my life somehow with different ways, and so I still struggle with intrusive thoughts. So Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. They sent it, okay? I love this. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of... Oh, no. All right. What's your first clue? Don't go there. If it's the plain of, oh, no, don't go. Because, oh, no, means grief or strength or iniquity of him. Grief means that it's the valley of the shadow. You're going to go into a place where it's not going to be positive. You ever been in an environment like that? And you just go like, whew. Like, I need to go home and have a shower because this is so negative. I just talked to somebody that works right in that Williams Lake area, and it was like he just his life is just negative all the time. Just negative. He can't find a good thing to say about anybody, and he's ready to pick a fight first thing in the morning. Literally, he said, I was going to take this guy out of Safeway or Subway and beat him up in the parking lot. Oh, maybe you got an anger problem, do you think? You know? Like, some people live like that. They live in that darkness. Sanballat and Geshem sure do. And they said, hey, come away. Join me at the place of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me and cause me to be afraid, is what the other translations say. Ever been afraid? Because of something somebody said? Somebody's threatened you? Have you ever been afraid? I'll tell you something right now. That is not from the God we serve. God has not given to us what? The spirit of fear. But instead, he's given us love and a sound mind. Love, power, and a sound mind, right? Or disciplined mind. So the disciplined mind says, I'm not going to enter into these kind of things. He says also that God is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. So guess what? If there's intimidation that leads to fear, you need to know where it's coming from. You need to know who you are. You need to know that you have the authority to stand. And when you've done everything that you can do to stand, stand in the face. Go toe to toe with the enemy. Look him in the eye. It'll scare the stuffing right out of you. Because they're powerful. It's not some wimpy dude that says, I'm just going to really threaten you. It's not like that. It's somebody that's going to say, I'm going to take your life, or I'm going to pass judgment, or God's going to pass judgment. He's going to use a real powerful threat that has no power at all unless you receive it. You hear me? Do not receive it because you don't have to. They were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. Hey, look, I'm carrying on this great project and can't come down. Why should I stop work while I leave it and go down to you? But they were scheming to harm me and to cause me fear. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I'm carrying on. Oop, that's what happens when you do two PowerPoints in one row. So four times, the enemy doesn't give up, right? What? Who are you? What are you doing here? Well, I'll tell you what. Then he has somebody else come and say, what are you doing here? Like, are you deaf? Didn't you hear that? You don't say that because that just aggravates the whole situation. Four times he sent me the same message. Hey, come on down to Ono. And then, oh no, I won't. Four times. Then on the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me. Okay, now he's got the big guns coming in. Right? A little bit of fear there. With the same message in his hand was an unsealed letter. Unsealed letter. Isn't that interesting? So it means that anybody could read that letter. So the messenger probably read it. Maybe he stopped the long sword and let a whole bunch of other people read it. You don't know. And this is what was written in that letter. This is Sanballat's letter. It is reported among the nations. Really, Sanballat? It's reported among the nations. And Geshem says it's true. Well, there you are. It's on TV. It's got to be true. I mean, Geshem said it. That you and the Jews are planning a revolt. And in those days, that would mean that they would just bring in armies and kill them because they're revolting. And therefore, you're building the wall. So you're trying to protect yourself because you are going to actually revolt against the king. Moreover, according to these reports, this is still in the letter, you're about to become their king. See, Nehemiah, you came and you told everybody that you're just coming to Jerusalem to help them out. But you really, you have an agenda, and that's you want to be their king. And have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Hallelujah. We can move ahead. What do you do when that's not your agenda and somebody's telling that all over the city and all over the nation? What do you do when you know it's not true? You know, sometimes we were in a situation in Parksville where we were sued in our church. We've had a lot of experiences in the church that are really gratifying. We 5-year court battle. And it was like, This guy was part of our lease when we bought the property. It's a long story. It was a property, kind of a lease thing, and he wouldn't comply with the lease, so we kind of walked him through some stuff, and he said, well, if you do anything, and I'll just bring my lawyer in, and he brought his lawyer in. Now, he'd done this 3 or 4 times in town already and destroyed people's businesses. And I said, he ain't going to destroy us. It stopped. No more in and out the gate, buddy. You're done. Well, Of course, he didn't go, okay, I'm going to back off. Man alive, it was ugly. It was really ugly. Really, really ugly. We had police involved over and over, conservation officers involved because we're, you know, there was accusations about this. And then all over the community, he had spread all this horrible stuff about how nasty we were. And even in the newspaper, they wrote an article and the newspaper came and talked to us. And I thought, wow, they actually listened to our side of the story. And when I read the newspaper, there was this big picture of us and this and the, what we were doing and all this kind of stuff, and nothing about us in the story, all about him and how our church was destroying this man's livelihood. And I couldn't defend. What is it going to do? People said to me, Pastor, let's write some letters to the newspaper. I said, no, you just sell newspapers. That's all they want. You don't get into that kind of a bickering battle back and forth. But I couldn't stop what he was saying, and maybe he is still saying to this day, about me. All I need to do is stand on the truth. You need to stand on the truth, and you need to know. If there's something wrong and somebody's accusing you of something, you need to clean it up. You need to fess up. You need to humble yourself. But if there's something that's just a lie from the pit of hell, as what is happening here with Geshem and Sanballat about you, then you don't take that. You can't do anything about it. You can't run all over the nations and say, well, my side of the story is this. You have to stand, and God will provide a way. Now, this report will get back to the king. So here's the threat. This report will get back to the king, so you better come and let's talk. Here's what happened in one of my pastorates. I've had some fun. This woman sent a letter to every pastor on my little island where I was pastoring, to every church, and said, this whole doom and gloom thing, like she's a prophet of doom. She was just horrible. It was like we'd die and the church would fold, and it was just going to be like annihilation for Christianity unless we followed what she said and reported back to her within a week. And so I went 4 days over the week. Because it wasn't from God, it was from the pit of hell. It's a spiritual attack. I told my board and we prayed and we just stood there. And when I did finally talk to her, she said, it's too late. I said, no, it's not too late because it's not from God. So I don't receive any of that. And she was really angry. I happened to be driving ambulance on that island for a couple of years. A year later, we had a call to take somebody from the hospital to send them to Vancouver because this person had serious schizophrenia. And guess who it was? It was somebody who was writing these letters. Now she went and God, it was gracious, God, you know, moved in her life, and the doctors helped her with the balance and in with her medications. She came back and she apologized to every pastor. But the attack was, and I had the letter, I should have kept it, but sometimes you just want to keep that. It's like if you got such dirty old clothes that smell really bad, are you going to keep them? No, I don't think so. I can still remember it. But see, that's the same thing as what Nehemiah was in. So you know what? You don't come back to me in 4 days. Can't really help you. He didn't say 4 days here. He says, but it's going to get back to the king. Well, if you don't know who you are and that the king sent you and provided everything for you, you know what? You are sent by the king, every one of you. And so when the enemy comes in and says, you shouldn't do that, or I'm going to tell on you. Well, go tell, because he already knows. And they're not going to go tell on you because they know that he knows. It's intimidation. You guys following me? Good. So I sent him this reply. You know what this does? It takes so much time and energy. And that's part of the devil's tactics, is to make sure that you don't get your job done for God. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening, just making it up out of your head. You're a nut bar. That's the translation. You are a nut bar, a religious nut bar. No, you don't write that in your letter back to him, dear nut bar. But that's who they are. Spiritually, they're a nut bar. They're all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it'll not get completed. That's what he wants to do. He wants to disarm you. He wants to handicap you. He wants you to cause you to be fearful. And this is the heat of the battle. Let me tell you, this is when you don't want to keep going. This is when you want to just capitulate and say, it's not worth it. Let me tell you something right now. When the enemy's against you, it's worth it to put him in his place. And whatever the situation in your life is, you need to put him in his place. So he prayed. Nehemiah is a good example of what we're to do. When you get into that situation, you don't know what to do, you pray. Now, he was praying all the way up to this time, but he prayed specifically about that, and he said, now strengthen my hands. Lord, strengthen me. What does that mean? It means, Lord, you just need to, I can't do it. I need somebody to lift my arms. I need somebody to come alongside. I need to see something so that we know we're victorious. So one day I went to the house of Shimeiah, and who is the son of Delilah and the son of Mike. That's vegetable, like vegetable. And who was shut in at home. And he said, let's go and meet in the house of God. So now it's not Sanballat, but it's one of his team. They're all over. They're like an army that's all situated all over the place. Let's go inside the temple doors and let's close them, because they're coming to kill you by night. They're coming to kill you. They're going to kill you. So let's go hide in the church. Let's put the alarm system on. Let's phone the police. They're going to get you. And I'm so concerned about them getting you. Don't believe that for a moment. All he wants is scare the life out of you. The best thing is say, bring it on. Bring it on. Because you know who's your protector. Bring it on. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I'm not going. I am not going. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah. Remember who he is? The religious spirit. And Sanballat had what? Hired him. Oh, man. I'll tell you, when you get into these battles with the devil, when you get into these battles with the demons, then that it's unbelievable what people do to destroy you. They will hire people to prophesy against you. And in that system, if you were prophesied against, they'd take you out and stone you. If they could get enough prophets, or if they get enough people to witness against you, they'd just take you out and stone you, because they'd make their judgment on that. Hired. Hired guns is what they are. He had hired them to intimidate me, like the big dog. The little one's looking up. Remember David and Goliath? Did David run out there going, I hope this works. I don't know what kind of stones. I need one with some uranium in it to make a bomb, because that big dude, I need this. I just got this slingshot and I got it from Walmart. I don't know. I don't know. David didn't do that. He looked at the big dude. He said, you're just uncircumcised Philistine. You're like the bear and the cougar that I killed with my bare hands. I don't care how big you are, dude. I don't care how big you are, because my God is bigger. My God is bigger, and he's always bigger, no matter if you bring 10 of your brothers and stand on their shoulders. God is bigger than all of them. So he had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and they would give me a bad name and discredit me. What's a set of trap for you? Remember how many traps they set for Jesus? All the time. What would you say if? What would you think about this? How can you heal on the Sabbath? I mean, come on. You know the rules. And we walk by the rules, so we're far more righteous than you. How could you heal on the Sabbath? And you went through, and you're these guys that are following you, what kind of an example are you? You guys were all shifting the grain off and eating it. Like, come on, that's... And then what about David? David went in to the temple or into the tabernacle, and him and his team, what did they do? They ate the showbread. It's actually just for show. Showbread. It's just to be there, and then it gets rotten and they throw it out. It's not for eating. My goodness. That's the kind of legalism. The Tobiah, the rich, the religious person has. Legalism will kill you. The letter of the law will kill you. Grace has superseded the law. Doesn't mean you get sloppy and don't do things, but you do not live under the law anymore. You live under grace. And you need to walk in that grace. And I said, it's not sloppy. You can't go and do anything you want. Whatever you got to do, whatever you should do, should reflect the love that you have for Jesus, and you should reflect him in everything you do. Verse 14, it says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat. And he prayed this, my God, because of what they've done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. Oh, man, you don't know how many times as a pastor I've had people come up and say, thus saith the Lord. So am I supposed to just drop everything and go, oh, thank you, Jesus, for sending them? No, they preface that with, thus saith the Lord, or they end it with, thus saith the Lord, because they want you to be intimidated that they've heard from God and you haven't. Let me tell you something right now. If it does not line up with the scripture, if it does not edify you, if it does not bless you, if it does not correct you in genuine love, then you do not need to receive it. Do you understand that? There isn't a prophet in today. The Old Testament was different. Today, the prophets do not do that. And I've been attacked a million times since, well, evangelistically speaking, not quite a million times, but more times than I ever want to admit to, from people who are so legalistic and so religious that they just know what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. And they do it to intimidate you. So, when the wall is complete on the 25th of Elul, 52 days. Can you imagine? They built the whole wall in 52 days. When our enemies heard about this, and all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that awesome? Richmond Pentecostal Church is going to infiltrate and impact this world because God has caused that to be part of our DNA. That's the purpose we're here. His hand is upon it. And we will succeed. Not because of your Jim Caruso, your pastor. We'll succeed because God's hand's on it. And everyone built the wall, not Nehemiah. Do you understand that? Everyone built the wall, not Nehemiah. I can't do it. I won't do it. But I can't do it. I know my part I'm supposed to do, but every one of you are part of that army to build those walls in your own lives especially, and then get the gates hung, and then not have the enemy come in and out like he can, just like swinging doors in an old saloon. Just walk in and have a fight and then walk out. No more. You put a door in like they have in the cockpits of airplanes now, and you don't get in unless you have the code or unless you know the person behind the door, and the person on the other side of the door knows you. Then you'll get in. The devil does not have a right to be in your life at all. In Romans chapter 6, it says you're dead to sin and alive to God. You do not have death as your master any longer. You have Jesus' life who's your master. Is that kind of a good thing? It's awesome. Also, in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. So they formed these little groups, eh? And now it's not letters, it's emails. Now it's text. Let's tweet this off. Tweet, tweet. Don't retweet something that's garbage like that. They sent letters because they formed this little group. You see, they figured their strength in numbers. And there is. You know where our strength is? Jesus. Remember a long time ago, one of the songs, I think it was, I can't remember the guy that wrote it. And he said, me and Jesus are majority. David Ingalls, wasn't it? Jesus and I don't know how you, but Jesus and I are majority. You know what? Every politician wants a majority. We already have it. We have it. You and Jesus are majority. Do you know that? That Jesus and you win every time. There's no fear in Christ. You will win because Jesus and you are majority. That's it. Now the devil come, oh, come on, you don't believe that. I kind of do. I really believe it. And another thing I believe is that you're defeated and I'm victorious. So get out of my face. Back off. Take off. Get out of here. You know what? I'm going to hang that gate and you ain't coming in that way anymore. And I know you're a slimy creature and you want to slide in somewhere else. I'll put some stops in and one day you won't get into my life whatsoever. So maybe you got to do some fence building, some gate hanging before you, maybe even before you leave this morning, but for sure. For many in Judah were under the oath to him since he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah and of our era, and his son Jehoam, and I have trouble with those words, you know that, and married to the daughter of, and that's, you can read that for yourself. Moreover, they kept, I tried, honestly, I sometimes put those words out in, you know, word attack, and I put them out like that, and I still stutter over them, and so there's some probably that are way gooder at this than me, way better. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and telling him what I had said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. He's like Gishom, drip, drip, drip. You think you're done and something comes. You think you're done and something else comes. You think you're done and there he is. Oh, who told you you could do this? Jesus. Oh, yeah? Well, maybe we'll go to the king ourselves. Well, go. Go. Actually, you don't have to go far. Like, we can talk to him together right now because he lives inside of me. So don't be intimidated anymore. Don't be intimidated anymore. Don't be intimidated by somebody in the flesh who is actually motivated by this. And remember, the flesh is not your enemy. The person who's intimidating is not your enemy. Whatever the case is, they're causing this. They're becoming a vessel for the enemy. It's so important. You see, in the Second World War, there was a person who was driven by demonic forces, and his name was Hitler. There's no two ways about it. He had no regard for life, and he wanted all the power in the whole world. That's not all German people, understand that, okay? And sometimes we get that wrong. But this man gave himself over to try to take over the world. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for 1 minute what it would have been like if he would have been successful? We would not have the world we live in today. That war has followed so many people, even after it's all said and done. He intimidated his nation. Then he intimidated the nations around him. Then he went on to intimidate by force, by slaughter. And this is history through Russia and different places like that. But the whole context of Adolf Hitler was to kill and destroy and to steal. You look at any of the records, of the Second World War. That's all he did, so he could become the most powerful person in the world. And a few people stood up to him. And some of the theologians stood up to him, and some died because of it. But let me tell you something. God prevailed in the Second World War, and we have the freedom today that we do now. And there are all sorts of other people driven by that same spirit in other countries, dictatorships and autocratic governments and just horrible, horrible people, or actually people who do horrible, horrible things. Horrible things. Some of you, I'm talking about your home countries. Some of you experience this personally. Jesus Christ came to bring life and that life abundantly. He is the truth, the way, and the life. He said, I am the door. So you can put all your doors up, okay? Lock everything else out and let anyone come. The sign out there in our front yard says, if the devil's knocking at your door, let Jesus answer him. Isn't that great? We never made that up, but that's the truth. The devil's knocking at your door this morning, let Jesus answer him. And I'll tell you, when Jesus answers him, he goes down on his knees. He goes down on his knees, and the demons say, leave me alone. That's how much power they really have. Leave me alone. Inside of you, Jesus lives. And you don't need to let anything in your life unless Jesus allows it. Can you receive that this morning? Can you say, I'm going to walk in that kind of, I'm going to build my walls. This morning, some of you need to build some walls. And maybe some of you got some walls built, but you need to hang some gates. So I want you to stand. And as Pastor Randy leads and the team, I'm just going to invite you to come down. If you've got a wall to build, if you've got a gate to hang, if you have been bullied or are a bully, you need to repent from that, because that shows your insecurity and you need to be in control. You got to give Christ the ability to be in control. And husbands and wives, if there's bullying going on there, you need to repent of that, and you need to live God control and be in your marriage. And maybe you got this bullying going on with at work or something like that. God will provide a way. He may move that person or move you or whatever, but you do not need to live in a bullying situation. It needs to be brought down. It needs to be brought down this morning. So I'm going to invite you to come. I want you to just gather around the front. If you need prayer in that area, and we're going to pray for you.